49. Warmer Saturday, the high 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
I needed that music. I'm moving a little slow this morning, Chase. But welcome in to the Thursday edition of Inside the Locker Room. Download the Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone. You can send us an app message. You can take us with you anywhere you go. You can also email us if you want to get us that way to whipandberry@yahoo.com. Or the easiest way, dial us up 205-342-9904. Be happy to take your calls throughout the show. We've had different callers as well. I like the ones we get all the time, and also like to have some new callers, and we've had several over the last couple of weeks. We want to thank Yellowwood for sure, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If you want to build the five-star backyard, then there's only one choice. That would be Yellowwood. Go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. Today, I know you guys have heard him. We'll talk a little football, his music as well, song. But Tommy Wilcox, the former All-American that played for Coach Bryant, will join us at 7:30. So we look forward to having Tommy on. Tommy and Dad can really chop it up. They were really around Coach Bryant, and nobody knows them better than those two guys. So good morning, Chase. Good morning, Dad. How are you guys doing this morning?
I'm here. About it. I wasn't able to get the Alabama game last night, but Barry can comment on that. Florida beat St. Francis in just a non-conference game, and Vanderbilt beat the Memphis team at Memphis. Memphis really struggling at 4-6. Vanderbilt's undefeated, hasn't played a great schedule, and I saw as quick as I could that Alabama won 104-93, and Fila, I think it was a good player. Barry will tell you about that game. Ohio, the University of Ohio fired their head football coach Brian Smith, didn't give any particular reasons for that. In pro football, Tua has been benched. That's happened before. It'll I'm sure get straightened back out a little bit, but it's not much news, but that's about it. Alabama remains a point and a half. A lot of the misplay in the Georgia game was by the media was laid on I agree on the injury to the running backs and not being well there, and hopefully getting the one running back who's pretty good back, and of course interceptions that. Fumbles that the things that occurred, the turnovers at Alabama occurred in the games with Oklahoma. So Oklahoma and Alabama is a big deal tomorrow night. So we welcome your calls to tell us anything you want to tell us.
The game, and I don't think fans understand this. I know you do, but fans don't. And I think Brian Hodgson did. They interviewed him at halftime. And when you do something very poorly in a game, then you have a pretty fiery coach, which Alabama does, then the next outing in practice and leading up to the next game, you put a lot of emphasis on that particular area. That's why I'm trying to explain to people when they talk about what happened in the Oklahoma game, and people say, well, Oklahoma won't probably change. They won. No, they see how many yards Alabama got, and no, they were lucky to win, so they will change things. But, you know, obviously Coach Oates was very disappointed in the offensive boards because they only got three against Arizona, and Hutchins said we knew they were going to really attack the offensive glass, and they ended up last night, Dad, getting 20 offensive rebounds, 25 defensive rebounds. The rebounding was about the same. I think it was 46 to 45, but you know, they gave up 25 offensive rebounds as well. But just talk a minute about that. When you're not doing something well, then you usually emphasize that in practice, and it usually improves. And that's probably what will happen between Oklahoma and Alabama. Oklahoma's going to look at it and say, yeah, we won the game, but we gave up, you know, 400 and something yards, and there's a lot of areas we got to improve in. And just because what happened in one game does not mean, a lot of times opposites happen because you really emphasize the areas that need some work.
Well, I think Oklahoma will change a lot of things that they do, and may already have some new sets put in football wise and run some things that they haven't run before. But they're when the people talk about Alabama being playing the way they play, they just simply talk about the injuries to the running backs are no good to start with. No, I shouldn't say no good. They just don't have good running backs, or have not had good running backs. And that was a problem of getting caught at a wrong time. And the expectations of the Alabama fan is to win the game. The expectations of me is for it to be a very hard game. They come at you in all different ways. And I think also Oklahoma defensively is a team that does stay consistent with their defense. They're not much of a read defense. They're just much of a blow by you and try to get to the quarterback type defense, which has caused Ty a lot. And, you know, people are down on him and that kind of thing because things hadn't getting – when they go smooth to start the season, then you go backward a little bit. After you play some games, people, you know, they get all wiggly about it. So sometimes when you start poorly and get better, then, of course, they can't praise you enough. So I think turnovers, and I think it should be a heck of a game.
Yeah, I just, you know, to say, well, Oklahoma won, so they're not going to change anything. They're going to look at it and say, well, we won. Well, they also know that they were very fortunate to win the game, and they probably not – I'd like to get the turnovers, and maybe they think some of their schemes cause the turnovers, but they like to shut that quarterback down, and so they're probably frustrated that he threw for that many yards. But at the end of the day, they only got, I think it was 21 points. And the over-under I saw yesterday went down. It was 40, went down to 39. So they're thinking this is going to be a defensive deal there, which sometimes it goes the opposite way of that. Teams end up scoring points. I would think 39 seems low. I mean, you get a couple of turnovers where you get the ball in the other team's territory, you're able to pick up some points there. You can get pretty close to 39 pretty fast, adding up those two scores. So, you know, the first game of the playoff is tomorrow. Then three games on Saturday. Did you see where Summerall, I guess he was half tongue-in-cheek. He was joking, but he had reached out to Lane Kiffin, said he could come sit in their box over there if he wanted to. But he has not heard back from Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin be one that would – no, he probably wouldn't show up there because they may kill him there in Oxford. So it should be a good weekend of football this weekend. The most intriguing game to me, Dad, is Miami traveling to Texas A&M. Will Texas A&M get off the mat from their first loss? I think Coach Elko's a tough coach, and I think he'll have those guys' attention. So I look for A&M to win that game at home. Your thoughts about that game? We hadn't talked about it much.
Yeah. Well, I just think A&M has been consistently, because of coaches, as you've mentioned, been a consistent, good defensive team. I think and I think they'll stay that way. And being at home, I think they give 3 points to Miami. I think that's right. Miami's a little bit more finesse team, a little bit more of a pretty team, as you want to say it. Maybe not quite as down the dirt as A&M is, and I think A&M's got a, you know, you go back and look at the mistakes they've made here lately, but Elko's done a good job with him. He's a guy that doesn't get much praise, or they don't talk about him much. He's kind of a low key guy, but I think the 3 points that they give up, I think A&M's got a chance to blow by that.
And I'm looking at the Oklahoma games. It's finally changed the line. Oklahoma is now favored by 1.5. So that does not surprise me. I thought that would change throughout the week, and that took all the way till the day before. So Oklahoma is now the favorite. Oklahoma minus 1.5. Take the first break. We'll get to Bruce when we get back from break. 2 minute truck. We're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need in preparation for this move, where it's local, out of town, out of state, or you just need to finish up getting ready for the holidays. 2 Minute Truck is the people for you. Give them a call today, 205-247-5050. 2 Minute Truck, movers who care.
Trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. Former Alabama and NFL quarterback A.J. McCarron has withdrawn from the race for the Republican Lieutenant Governor's nomination. He says it's because he has heard his name being called by football. At least 4 people in the race, Secretary of State Wes Allen, Agricultural Commissioner Rick Bate, Opelika Pastor Dean Ole, and commercial realtor Nicole Wadsworth. The primaries are May 19th. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free throughout the day. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. The free flow continues around the area. We may have a couple of spots where you're going to only tap on the brakes briefly, and that is at the Lurleen Wallace and McFarland intersection, along with 69, of course. 43 southbound at McFarland. That will slow down just a skosh. And 2050.
339-7361 or visit us at 1600 Lurleen B. Wallace Boulevard, Northport, Alabama. And Roll Tide.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with occasional showers today. The high for this afternoon around 62. For tonight, showers ending this evening. Clearing and colder, the low 36. For tomorrow and Saturday, sunny both days. The high tomorrow 49. Warmer Saturday, the high 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 56 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker. Pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Night one bowl game, Missouri State takes on the champions of life. Arkansas State plays former Butch Jones, former Tennessee head coach and Alabama assistant, now is at Arkansas State. 7-5. Missouri State takes on 6-6 Arkansas State. So Doesn't take much to get in a bowl anymore. No. We're going bowling. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. How y'all doing today?
We're all right. How are you?
Okay. How are you, Bruce?
I'm good. I had a question for you. I saw out on social media that Alabama got a commitment from a five-star athlete for the 2026 class, which should make us the number one team in the country for recruiting. Have y'all heard anything about that?
I have not. Tell us about it.
Well, I don't know. It wouldn't tell his name. It just said five-star athlete that we that committed to us over Ohio State, Georgia, and all the other big teams. So
yeah, you talking about
kind of like it's kind of like it
for next season, Bruce?
Right, for 2026 recruiting.
Yeah, I know Alabama at one point was the best in the SEC and ranked third. And we'll see, you know, when you add the incoming freshman JC kids to the portal kids, you know, a lot of these schools now just almost exclusively recruit the portal, which will open up January the 2nd. Where do you think Alabama's biggest needs are, Bruce, when it comes to the portal?
Offensive line and defensive line.
Always about the line, isn't it? Yeah.
I promise.
Yeah. Maybe they Crowell, the kid from Jacksonville, is supposed to be a dynamic running back. It's usually freshmen usually have a little bit harder of a time just learning how to block and all the things that the high school, you just get them the ball. Is a lot more involved. But hopefully he can come in and be as good as he was or even half as good as he was in high school. So.
Well, I saw that he was the most valuable player for the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game.
Yeah.
And our wide receiver from down there in Phoenix City, he did great in the game too.
Yeah, Phoenix City has a lot of athletes down there. A lot of really good football players come from Central Phoenix City. Anything else,
well,
Bruce?
Teams like that. Yeah, I heard that. Teams like that always have like a one guy on their team is like a man playing against boys.
Yeah. There's several of those.
Kind of like he is.
Yeah, there's several of those guys out there. So I think Alabama will recruit well, and they got to retain the ones that they want to retain, and we'll see a little bit of movement. But what's your thoughts about the game Saturday?
Well, I'm hoping for a win. We're gonna have to get the passing going better and the running too. So we got a lot of things to work on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, there's Bruce saying we need linemen. Dad, you agree to that? You always need linemen, right? You got to have depth at the offensive, defensive line.
Yeah, we always criticize the backs and the quarterbacks, the people that show them the way don't get a lot of credit, but that's the key to being successful, no doubt.
You think this new receivers coach, Coach Nix, he's from Alabama. He's been at Ole Miss. He's been down at Auburn. He's pretty tight with a lot of those Auburn kids there. I'm sure he's a good recruiter. Is that a good hire for Coach DeBoer to kind of maybe get a Southern guy with recruiting ties here? The other guys that he has, a lot of guys, we got some guys from here, some guys from the West Coast there. Just your thoughts about him going out and hiring Coach.
Well, I think that was the main thing, like you said. I think it's recruiting. You know, you've got to give him a title, and he's a wide receiver coach. And he helped, sat next to Hugh Freeze and them doing the offensive part of it. And I think probably did a pretty good job in that. They were in disarray down there, but you get so many. Really good minority coaches that can coach, but also that get close to kids a little bit better maybe than other people, and they can not only know where they are, but they can get to the families, I think, and make it beneficial. So going from Auburn to Alabama and then starting to recruit a kid who's got it down to Auburn and Alabama, he's able to say in the right kind of way to make them lean towards Alabama a little bit, because I was at Auburn at one time, and this has happened. That's happened. So I'm sure it's a good hire.
Yeah. And so I know there's a lot of eyes on that receiving core down there and seeing if those guys get in the portal, and he's a receivers coach and he knows the guys that, you know, he knows their work ethic, what kind of people they are. You want good people nowadays. And so he would know which ones you would want, which ones you'd want to stay away from, especially when it comes to anybody that gets in the portal with Auburn there. So well, that was a good pickup, just like Ole Miss hiring the interim head coach for LSU. I think he's got good recruiting ties. Those two guys have worked together before. So you just see a lot of moving around here from one school to the next. I don't remember SEC coaches going to SEC teams as much as it is now. It just seems like they jump from one SEC team to the next. Is that good?
Oh, I think it's okay either way. I think the Tulane Ole Miss game at a 17.5-point favorite is a little bit scary to me for people who gamble a great deal. Ole Miss may have a mat on and play great, but they might not. They may want to show Lane that they have the ability to beat people without him. That just goes so far, the mental part. You know, it's helpful to you get started going, but that 17.5 points is
a lot of points.
I think it is.
You know, I know they did beat them bad the first time they played them, but a little more pressure when it comes to the college football playoff. And really, Tulane's got nothing to lose. Now, their coach obviously is leaving, so how much time has he had in preparation for this game? I know he wants to do right by those guys there at Tulane and not leave them in a bad situation. But that's a big number there for sure. So,
well, you got an awkward situation. You got a coach coaching Tulane going to Florida, and then you've got somebody coaching that not coaching Ole Miss that's been coaching them. To me, it's hard to pick, but it's pretty awkward to me to see kids, you know, try to go through that and get started with that. And it, you know, Tulane has been one of these teams that has always been a little bit below the level of the rest of the SEC teams in people's minds and in recruiting as well. And he's done a good job getting good players, and we'll see what happens so far.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to the Yellowwood Hotline. Tom, I hate to bring you in now because we got Tommy, but we got a couple of minutes, and you can call back in the second hour. We don't get it all covered. How you doing?
Hey. Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are y'all this morning? I thought you had somebody else in front of me.
No, we actually.
I think Coach.
Go ahead.
I'm
sorry?
Coach Nix has one job, and he was hired for one job. That's getting Cam Coleman to Alabama.
That's his job?
That's his job, and we're dependent on him to do that job.
So if he doesn't get that done, then he can go back to Auburn?
No, I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying that I think that the influence that – I think he's a great coach. I'm gonna tell you that right now. And I thought it was a great hire and a good addition for that staff. And I think you already brought it up, what I thought was to be true, and that is that, you know, he knows the ropes around this part of the country for recruiting. And I think that's the main thing. But right now, I think that Cam Coleman is looking around. That's my opinion. And if he's serious about it, I think that Coach Nix could be valuable.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I would think they have.
And
a good...
I'm gonna hang up. I didn't realize you had a guest coming on right now.
All right, call
let
us
me
back.
Get out of the way.
All right,
that.
Call us back.
Okay.
All right, we'll take the break here. We'll get to Tommy Wilcox when you bring the back in. Play the little. He wrote a poem. They baked the song to it. I think they're looking for someone to actually an artist to cut the song. I don't know if they found one yet. But we'll talk to him about that. But also talk to him about his playing days at the University of Alabama. And he's also encouraging the fan base to get more excited about this game tomorrow night against Oklahoma. So we'll talk to Tommy when we get back. You're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. The free flow continues around the area. We may have a couple of spots where you're going to only tap on the brakes briefly, and that is at the Lurleen Wallace and McFarland intersection, along with 69, of course. 43 southbound at McFarland. That will slow down just a skosh. And 20.
Contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. North River Timber, CO at gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Turn up a sound. Starting down south where the skies are blue. In my sweet home of Bama, crimson through and through. Come on.
Roll, baby, roll.
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 One, two, three, four.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. That's the song, the poem that Tommy Wilcox wrote. They're turning it into a song. We'll talk to him about that, but we got to talk football with Tommy. It was the University of Alabama from 79, Dad, to 82. Won the national championship in 79. Consensus All-American in 81. Second team All-American in 80. Two-time All-SEC in 80 and 81. Has a hunting and outdoor show. Tommy Wilcox. Good morning, Tommy. How are you, sir?
Hey, Tommy. I'm doing good. Thank you, guys. Man, I appreciate it.
Yep. Tommy, go ahead, Deb. No, go.
What would you think that Coach Bryant would feel today paying these guys that kind of money? I mean, I was giving out the $15 a month as a GA. $7.50 every 2 weeks. Can you imagine Coach Bryan would be scratching his head, wouldn't he?
And my goodness. Don't you know? And I want to tell you something, Coach Anderson. I had some colorful days. I used to love to get up there before we had our team meeting. And I'd walk out on the balcony into the arena and watch you coach the basketball team. And yeah, boy, the way you coached them, sometimes it was really colorful. And I just don't know. I don't know if you could have coached now. The kids get their feelings hurt. And they want to get in the NIL. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I might have been in trouble. You're right.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about your time here at Alabama. Obviously, came in from Louisiana. I think I heard you start on the story. You were a high school quarterback, right, Tommy? So you changed positions here. You wanted to quit at one time. Just kind of talk about your early years here at Alabama.
Okay. I came out of Louisiana. We ran the wishbone in high school. We wound up playing for the state championship. Coach Bryant came down and recruited me and signed me. And I came up here, and I spent a year up here. They automatically redshirted a lot of the guys. I want to say out of the, I don't know how many scholarships they gave out that year, maybe 45 or 50, but everyone was redshirted except, I think, two people. And I had the privilege of running the scout team offense first. Marty Lyons, Barry Prowse, Rich Wingo, Curtis McGriff, EJ Jr., all those guys, and it was horrible. And, man, after that whole year of just getting my butt killed every day, at the end of the year, I come home. I came back to Louisiana. I just wasn't coming back. I said, man, this was horrible, man. I didn't enjoy myself at all. So I missed the few first days of practice, and all the coaches were calling me wanting to know where I was at, why I didn't show up, and all that. I just told them I wasn't coming back. I didn't have fun. And, running that scout team all year, that's not something I look forward to, you know. And then, so it wasn't long after that I got a call from Coach Bryant. He says, Tommy, he said, you got a car? And I said, no, sir. And he said, can you get a car? I said, yes, sir. He said, meet me at the airport. So he flew down in a school plane with just Woody and the other pilot, just him. And I picked him up. He said, let's go to the Hilton Hotel. So we rode over to the Hilton Hotel. And you know, they got a coffee table with two chairs in it.
Yeah.
He said, sit down. So he pulled the chairs away from the coffee table, and he put one. I sat down. He lifted his legs up over my legs and pulled the other chair. So my legs were inside Coach Bryant's legs. And he goes, now, I've been in this business so long. I've seen so many things. There's nothing you can tell me that I haven't heard. So tell me why you don't want to come back to school. So I told him, you know, the whole, what happened that whole year, and it wasn't fun. And he says, well, it's really not meant to be fun. He says, we've got a lot of great players up here, and you got to earn your way. If you want to play, you got to earn your way. And he says, I think that you would benefit from being redshirted. And then I thought that the improvement, what I saw in you, you're a winner, you know, we started throwing all these nice terms at me, you know. And he said, but this is your year, man. You got a chance to come back up here and play. But he says, you done missed a few practices, and, you know, you're not going to be able to play quarterback because you got to learn how to audible and all this kind of stuff. But he said, if you come back up and you'll do what I think you'll do, and you'll pay the price, and you keep your head down, and you'll get after it and do all those kind of things, I think your career can be really promising. And then he just started giving me a lot of praises and all that stuff. And said, what's your goals, son? And I said, Coach, my goal was when I signed with you, I wanted to be on a national championship team. He says, your individual goals. I said, well, I'd like to be all conference and then all American. And he says, well, son, you've got all that, the right stuff. You made it the right stuff. But he said, I'm not going to give you anything. If you come back up here and you do what I ask you to do, I think before you leave there, you can attain that All-American status. So that was the last, you know, I was kind of fired up about it. But here's the funny part. He said, well, drive me back to the plane. So I drove him back to the plane, and he says, you coming back tomorrow? I said, yes, sir, I'll be up there tomorrow. So I came back up there, and the next day for practice, he had me on the scout team again.
Well, I want to ask you this, Dad, because you know Coach Bryant as well as anybody. He probably didn't make too many of those trips. He had to see something special in a guy probably like Tommy Wilcox, where he knew he could get it out of him. He probably wasn't going to do that a lot of times, do you think, Dad?
Not at all. Not at all. There were two things that could have happened. Number one, naturally, he thought Tommy could play.
Yeah.
There's also a staff meeting where one of the coaches says, I'm going to tell you one thing. We lose this Wilcox kid now has got a chance to really be a good player. And we lose him, we're in trouble. And he hadn't been showing up to practice. Well, when he gets that information along with himself, then that's when he gets Woody, heads it down there in that plane. I've been in that plane with Woody a bunch of times. So you're right. He don't make many trips like that. He's coach didn't say a whole lot, but whatever he said, you listened to. And for him to fly down there and and visit with him and talk him into coming back, so to speak, was something that doesn't happen very often.
You probably didn't realize it then, Tommy, but actually that's a pretty – that's a big honor to have Coach Bryant get in the school plane and come down there one-on-one with you to try to talk you back. You didn't realize it then, but now you probably look back on it, you do, don't you?
Exactly. Back then, I had no idea. I just figured they probably did that for every player that they signed and that decided not to come back. But as the years went by and as I got to see how Coach Bryant coached, and to listen to other players and other assistant coaches and stuff, I was like, how blessed was I to have Coach Bryant thank enough of me. And I thank him every day, man. Every time I talk to somebody about Alabama football, I say, listen, man, I am one of the most blessed people. To have that man think enough of me to come down and do that, I'll treasure that my entire life.
You know, I was a young kid when you were playing. You were one of my favorite. I told you this on the phone. Not many people do I remember, hey, what number they were. I always remember Tommy Wilcox was number 15, and you would absolutely lay the wood. How many targeting calls would you have gotten in, Tommy, if the targeting rule was in effect when you were playing college football?
Man, I would just even hate to try and count, but not just me. We had a rough group of guys on that back then. I mean, the way that we were coached and trained and led by, I think of Marty Lyons and Barry Krause and Bingo and myself, Murray Legg, people like Jim Bob Harris, all these guys, man, Jeremiah Caston. I don't think we could make many games if we had to play today.
Yeah, that.
Well, I all those guys, I remember all of them. Of course, I was there, and I used to kid Murray Legg. I said there would never been a goal line stand if you had let that guy catch that pass. You're responsible for the goal line pass, right. Man, not the guy who. He'd say, well, quit saying that. That's the truth. Well, if you hadn't let that guy get the pass, we'd never had a goal line stand.
There you go. There's a reason for everything, man. You got to look at the bright side.
Yeah. Well, talk about this game tomorrow night. I heard you on Gary's show, and you're a little worried the fans are not excited about it. Hopefully the football team is. You got to go down there because you know Oklahoma's going to be ready to beat Alabama twice. They will make some adjustments regardless of what people say because they probably weren't real happy with Alabama getting that many yards on them. Just your thoughts about this game tomorrow night in the college football playoff.
Listen, I love, man, it's just some days I never coach. But, man, there's some days that we look so good and there might even be some drives that we do so well. And we just missing the consistency and all that kind of stuff to really. I first started out the season with the loss to Florida State. I said, uh-oh, here we go. And then it got better. Gradually got a little better and got a little better. And then I said, man, by the end of the year, these guys are going to be peaking. And then they show some great signs of really getting after it and peaking. And then we'll show some. Like we did against Auburn in the second half, you know, and then the way we showed up against Georgia of not being the Alabama team they were in the middle of the season. But if we'll show up and play like there's no tomorrow, because there's not going to be no tomorrow, then I think we got a shot. I mean, everybody's got a shot, and the fans are down and the players were down because they lost to Georgia and didn't do a good thing. And then when they got to the playoffs, I'm like, that's what you play your whole season for. You're in the playoffs now. Everybody's 0-0 now. Now's your time to lay your ears back and go. I mean, I know, Coach, when y'all, I mean, your goal was to win the SEC championship, but you also wanted to get into
you wanted to get into the playoffs in basketball and get into the Sweet 16 and try to make it to the 8 and the Final Four and all. Well, these boys got a chance to do that now. It's just I want to try to fire them up and get them ready to go.
Yeah. We got a.
All right, guys, before you leave, tell us about the hunting and fishing. I need to know about that. What are you doing hunting and fishing?
Well, right now, we're in the deer hunting right now real strong. So with the cold weather moved in, we do that. The fishing's basically in the summer and in the spring. We do a lot of fishing, but I do a lot of stuff with the Alabama Credit Union, and we take a lot of people hunting. And then I take a lot of, I've taken some stars like Hank Williams Jr. and Sammy Kershaw and a bunch of those guys hunt too. But we're right in the middle of it right now, Coach, and we got a lot of pretty nice deer that we've taken so far, and hopefully by the end of January we'll have some more that we can put in some of our shows coming up.
We got a listener text me wanting me to ask you about a play about the snap that you almost took in the Mississippi State game in 1979.
Okay, I did take. I wasn't even on the quarterback side. All I did was practice on the defensive side. And Stedman Shealy went down. He got hurt. And then Don Jacobs got hurt. Then Alan Gray got hurt. So I hear Goosery yelling for me, Wilcox. And I'm thinking, what, man, the offense is out there. What's the deal? And he goes, yeah, Coach, and I'm like, gee. So Mal, I run up to Mal, and he says, man, just gonna run the option a few plays. So I ran the option about three plays, and of course we had to punt it after. But at least I did get the game at quarterback for one series. Until they got one of those other guys back taped up and back in the game.
Yeah, all right, let's you had a poem. Talk a little bit about the Roll Baby Roll, a poem that you had written. You had somebody, picking at you about making it a song. You guys have. You're looking for somebody to record it. It's a great, great song. Tell us about how all this came together, Tommy, and where it's headed.
Okay. Back when I played for Coach Bryant, you know, he had all these great one-liners. And he'd come in a meeting and he'd say, you know, you got to have pride in yourself, man. You got to have pride. The way you look, the way you act, when you put that crimson jersey on, when you put that crimson headgear on, got to have pride, you know. So he'd talk about pride and talk about win or lose, we're going to show our class. He'd talk about when we show up, we're not showing up to play a game. We're showing up to win. We're the Crimson Tide. We're showing up to win. So it was just all little things like that over the years that I kind of wrote down in like a little diary type thing. Because what I wanted to do is if I got into coaching, I wanted to use them. But more importantly, I wanted to share them. If I ever had kids, I wanted to share what it was like to be coached by Coach Bryant. So I had all this stuff, and I'd written a poem about it, and rhyme words, and all that stuff that he said. And I had a buddy of mine that played a little bit ahead of me in high school, but he went to the same high school I did, and he's a big writer with BMI. And he's bugged me for 2 years. Man, I wrote LSU fight song. I wrote Tulane. I said, dude, I ain't doing that. I ain't got time for all that kind of stuff. And then another year come by and he called me up. You give any more thought? Yeah, I'm not going to do it. And then, so about, I don't know, maybe about 2 months ago, he come to me and he said, man, I don't want to bug you anymore, but do you have any more thoughts? I said, well, I'll tell you what. With all this NIL, with all this transfer portals and all this stuff where people don't come to play for college no more, because of the pageantry and the tradition and all that kind of stuff. I wrote a poem and I got all this stuff. I'll show it to you. And if you think we can write a poem through my eyes or what it was like to have played for Coach Bryant and what the Alabama tradition stood for, and what words and what phrases he used on a daily basis. If you can tie all that in, do it, and I have the final say so, whether it's yes or no, then I'll do it. And that's what I did. And the boy's name is Steve Scafidi, and he did just a wonderful job. He added all the music. He sings. He put, it was like a puzzle. He had all these words and all these phrases, and he mixed and matched and tried to get, you know, Coach Bryant's words coming through the song.
Yeah.
And at the very end, he put in the little thing. Because I told him, we ain't doing a song unless you talk about the little things. You know, got to have the little things. And he put it at the end of the song. But I thought it turned out exceptionally. I didn't want to release it. I wanted to talk to about 20 football players and some of the coaches from when I was there. Everyone loved it. Everyone said, you got to do something with this thing. So we put it out on YouTube, and the word got around, and y'all were nice enough to have me on here with other radio stations. And I just hope it takes off. And I know that they brought it out to the players 2 weeks ago to listen to it. But, you know, hopefully they'll see what the tradition here is. And when they show up in Norman, that you know, we're coming to win, not to just show up.
We're going to play a little bit on the way out to break. But, Tommy, we appreciate you taking time to be on with us this morning. We'll get you on again sometime soon. And hopefully you have a great Christmas.
Well, same to y'all. And, Coach, I love you, man. Yeah. Barry, thank you, man. I love you. And, listen, if anyone wants to hear the whole song, tell them just to go on YouTube and type in Roll Baby Roll.
Roll Baby Roll. Well, turn it on. Back. Turn it on, Chase. Roll Baby Roll. Thank you, Tommy.
All right. Thank you.
They never, ever quit. They gave it their all. When the time came for battle, my boys answered the call. Roll, baby, roll. Roll, baby, roll.
Roll, baby, roll.
Roll, baby, roll.
Roll, baby, roll.
Let's do it.
Starts now.
Strike up the band and light them up.
The Crimson Tide looks to get revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners in the first round of the college football playoffs. Friday, December 19th. First round coverage starts at 4 p.m. on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast.
on 95.3 The Bear
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC
and online at 95.3thebear.com
and Tide100.9.com.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Things are filling in slightly more inside your primetime rush to work. If you're traveling on Joe Malisham and 43, you'll find that a little on the slower side. You're only tapping on the brakes briefly, however, because that's just intersection slow goes. And same holds true for 43 southbound onto McFarland.
Don't wait. Text BLISS to 797979 right now for your exclusive offer. Text BLISS to 797979. That's BLISS to 797979.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
Thursday Night Football kicking off week 16 of the NFL, and it's an NFC West showdown as the Rams will be taking on the Seahawks in Seattle. L.A. wide receiver Devontae Adams listed as doubtful because of his hamstring injury. USC wide receiver Mekhi Lemon has officially declared for the 2026 NFL draft. In the NBA, Josh Giddey recorded his sixth triple-double of the season, 23 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists as the Bulls outscored the Cavaliers 127-111. Jaren Jackson Jr. had a double-double, 28 points and 12 rebounds as the Grizzlies topped the Timberwolves 116-110. The Lakers will be without DeAndre Ayton for Thursday's game in Utah because of his elbow injury.
December 27th, Pearl River Resort Silver Star Convention Center. Tickets on sale now at pearlriverresort.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with occasional showers today. The high for this afternoon around 62. For tonight, showers ending this evening. Clearing and colder, the low 36. For tomorrow and Saturday, sunny both days. The high tomorrow 49. Warmer Saturday, the high 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 54 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience,
breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics
with the insight only two coaches can bring.
From the hardwood
to the gridiron,
from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium,
if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports,
you'll hear it here first.
With analysis, opinion,
and straight talk that cuts through the noise.
Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m.
on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC.
This is where champions get their day started.
This is Inside the Locker Room
with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Looking to make a trip here during the holiday season, rent that Toyota. Don't pay those high prices. Reserve your rental at Tuscaloosa Toyota today, 205-561-2043. You go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can look at all the new inventory, pre-owned inventory, schedule service. As I said, rent a Toyota. Swing by Skyland Boulevard. Justin, those guys will be there ready to take great care of you. Once again, TuscaloosaToyota.com. Chase, yesterday, Dad and I took Jack with me, went over to Steelman. They had holiday hoops. They invited all these elementary schools, and they had a ton of kids. So congratulations to Coach Teasley over there. John, good friend of mine, and he's done a good job at Steelman. Faulkner did end up winning the game, but they had that place packed out, and they were dancing. Dr. Dre was in there. They had a big time over at Steelman. Those kids were excited to be in there, so it was loud in there. So when he couldn't get Dad up and Jack dancing, they were having a dance-off with the teachers. They wanted Dad and Jack to dance, but that didn't happen. So, all right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. We'll bring Philip in. Good morning, Philip.
Morning, guys. Well, I hope y'all are good. Nobody won the Powerball last night, so I get to play again this weekend.
What's it up to?
$1.5
billion. Ooh, pretty good payday.
It is. I'm going to remember y'all.
If you win, will you still call the show?
Absolutely, I will.
You'll buy the show.
Absolutely, I will. That's one of the joys of living over here on the state line. I get to buy those lottery tickets.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you would not have believed all the cars in West Point, Georgia yesterday from Montgomery County and Autauga County.
Oh, yeah, all that money just running out of Alabama right over there to Georgia.
It was crazy. I stopped in the store, in the Sunlight gas station yesterday. I forgot about it at, around 4 o'clock, and it was packed with Autauga County, Montgomery County, Macon County car tags.
Yeah.
Packed.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But anyway, good start to the second half last night for Alabama. Came out and hit some threes, sort of extend that lead. And that game kind of went like I thought in the first half. It was a touch-and-go affair there. And I think Brian Hodgson, I don't know what he wants to do, but I think if he can stay at South Florida for a little bit, I think he could build a really good program down there. It's a nice place to live.
Yeah, I think in their league, as far as job goes, is one of the better ones. They have, I think, a couple million maybe for NIL money to give out, where a lot of these schools have nothing really. So he's got some built-in advantages. He's got, as you said, Tampa's nice place to live down there, and they got good football as well. I think it's a really solid, I'll call it a mid-major. It's right at a high major job down there for Brian.
Right. Well, the team flies out today, and Barry, I could sort of feel the little bit of a wavering in your voice yesterday at the end of the show. I can tell you're kind of worried about it, and
yeah,
I am too. We got to come out and press that gas pedal, and I think we got to ramp up the play execution quicker. We got to get to the line of scrimmage and ramp the plays up and get going on the play.
You got to build some momentum. When you got the punt blocked, it drains you, and so I think you got to get some momentum and build on it and get some confidence and get that sideline into it. But it's going to be, as Dad says, you go on the road, it's always difficult. Oklahoma's excited about the opportunity to be in the playoff and first playoff game ever in Norman, so you could run into a buzzsaw over there. Not that Alabama hadn't been in tough stadiums with big crowds and all that. These kids are used to that by now, but it can be a factor for sure in a game like this.
Well, it's that buzzsaw situation scares me, and that's what I'm praying doesn't happen, but it's a possibility.
That.
Yeah, well, I think that, of course, being a basketball guy, I always worry about the home court more than I do anything in the world. And Alabama, the criticism Alabama gets is that the running back's hurt. He was hurt when they played Georgia. They weren't well. And all I hear is gripe. The offensive line wasn't great, and they had some other – Georgia did too. But when you have less running backs, and then the best one that you have is not going to play, there's an understanding there of your problem, and they stand on Ty's butt pretty hard, and I think they need to get off of it. They do what they can do it. Be darn sure, as Coach Saban said, that the people surrounding him play well. That's the key.
How we don't know this. And, Philip, you probably watch more of the interviews than we do. How enthusiastic is this team right now? Are they excited for this opportunity, or is the negativity with the injuries and the negativity about the offensive coordinator and the run game and the kicker and all that, does that eventually take its toll on those guys, or do you think they're enthusiastic when they get on that plane today headed out to Norman? Because if they're not enthusiastic, they got no chance.
Got no chance. But I do feel like they are eager to get going. I do.
Good.
I feel like there's an eagerness about them that is needed and is going to be mandatory to have a successful opportunity in that game. So I do feel like they are eager, and I think that won't be a problem. It's just going to be execution. and all that. But I did see an interesting thing online yesterday or this morning, maybe. Heather Dinich is not putting the DeBoer to Michigan rumors to bed. I know we've seen the statements that we put out on our end, but that she's not putting that to bed yet.
Hmm. Just trying to get you to read something.
You gravitate to it. You just automatically gravitate to it.
I think he's, and I don't know this, I think there's a contract on the table. Whether he's signed or not, I don't know. I just don't think he wants to be fooling with it right now. So I'm sure Jimmy Sexton's been with Greg Burns people. They got something worked out. And before too long, it'll just all of a sudden, yay, Alabama, because they give them all the stories now because they're wanting people to pay for yay, Alabama to help the NIL. I get it. I look forward to that to come out here pretty soon where he's signed an extension.
A win Friday night sure would help him.
Yeah. How big is that? If they go out there and lay an egg, it'll be pretty bad around here for a little bit.
Dude, I have thought about it. You're absolutely right. It'd be horrible.
Yeah.
When both of y'all say pretty bad, what do you mean by pretty bad? Pretty bad with the fans, or and that's it? It's pretty bad.
I think it would be, obviously the fans. There would be a lot of negativity there. And then I think sometimes that gets within your program, too. And then all you got to do is have one or two guys go to the portal, and then these guys follow one another, So I think you could keep them – you could make them lose some players, some guys that are unhappy with their roles. When you're winning, everybody's kind of excited and – you want to listen to what these guys have to say. So I think that you don't think it could affect their transfers and stuff like that if they go out there and don't play well against Oklahoma?
I don't think
you
can. I don't.
Yeah, okay.
I think it could
affect. So if you're giving a lot of money that you're giving to this NIL, and all of a sudden they go to Oklahoma and they laid an egg – against Georgia, and they go out there and play very poorly, you're going to say, you know what, I'm tired of paying. If I'm going to put my money in it, then I expect these guys to go perform. I ain't giving any more.
It may be down the line, but I think right now, I think he can pretty much stick with them. So, there's not 12 teams there, and that's pretty darn good. So.
No, I think it is, but if you go out there and just get beat, 20 points or something,
we can calculate all kinds of scenarios that could happen that would hurt you.
I'm just saying, I think it's a big game for them.
It is.
To go be, show that they want to be there, fight, play well, execute. If they lose at the end on a field goal or whatever, at least you walk away feeling like you were in the game, you had a chance. The Georgia game, they were never in it.
Well, you have to remember, all of you have to remember that every team that plays, every time they play in this playoff of 12 teams, somebody's going to lose a game.
Sure.
And whoever loses a game in that situation doesn't mean that the money is going to be completely cut off in that particular program. I think there are programs that cut it off quicker. Alabama doesn't have quite as much as maybe Ohio State does or whatever. But I think people will be disgusted with every team that gets beat in the game if they don't play hard. So I think playing hard is a key, and if they play hard, they got a great chance.
But Alabama fans don't look at it like that. They look at it like you're supposed to win every game, right?
Alabama fans.
The Nick Saban's calls that, and I think the landscape of college football those days of when he dominated and those days are over, right? I don't think anybody realizes it. They don't realize it.
They are over, no doubt. Yes. But you compare it to that.
Yeah, yeah. So, anything else, Phil?
I'll say this, and it's an old thousand-year-long saying, winning is contagious.
It is.
Winning is contagious. It's contagious. And
it's fun. It's fun. Winning's fun. There ain't nothing like going back in a locker room after beating somebody on the road. That's a fun locker room. That's a fun plane ride back home.
It is. So, and I'll just leave it with that. Winning is contagious.
That's right.
And But y'all have a good one, and talk to you guys tomorrow. I want to hear those picks tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Phil. Yeah. All right, back to the Yellowwood hotline. All right, Tom, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Coach, you nailed it. You nailed it, and a lot of people that are around Alabama, they don't read the tea leaves correctly. And you surely have done that. And I'm going to emphasize the reading of the tea leaves.
Okay.
What we want is to win every game. We want to win every game. Now, nobody is fool enough to think they're going to win every game, but we want to win every game. And I don't think anybody will deny that. Do most people want to win as bad as we do? No. And but we want to win. Now, the thing about it is, if we don't win and you gave us everything you got to try to win, we're going to stick with you. But you go over there and flim-flam around like you did at Georgia, you can go to hell with that. Now, I'm going to tell you that right now. And nobody's going to be satisfied with that. They're not going to be happy with that. They're not going to be anything with that. They don't like it. And that's the difference there. Now, with Ty, here's the thing. Coach Saban said this on the first Oklahoma game. This is what he said, and it's true. The way to get Ty, and y'all remember how he was waiting and running the clock down and almost getting a penalty for taking too much time. Coach Saban said you confuse him pre-snap. He said if he reads what you're doing before that ball snap, he will kill you. But he said if you can confuse him before the snap, and the last two or three games, people have been able to do it. Coach Saban should have never said that on national television. But he did, and that is what's wrong with Ty. If they line up and then go to something else, and he's got it in his mind, that defense is going to do this, and then when the ball snaps, they do something different. Ty panics. Now, that's the problem.
Well, that's not just a Ty thing, Tom. If you can confuse any quarterback right before he snaps the ball, so I don't think Coach Saban broke any national story. Any quarterback you can confuse right at the snap is going to struggle.
Here's another thing: before that game at Oklahoma starts, they should test Venables for steroids.
Well, I don't want to hear people say they stole our signals. No, you just had bad signals. That's not stealing. That's called scouting, not stealing.
Whatever.
You done? Hello? All right, Tom's out. All right, we'll take the break here, Cowboy. We'll get to you. They stealing your signals. If you have signals.
What happens to you, son, is that your personality is more aggressive than your defensive personality.
Yeah.
It just is. It's in the defense I saw with Ken Donahue. I saw with all the defensive coordinators when I was at Alabama. Your personality, although I guess Ken's wasn't like the guy is at Oklahoma, but your personality gets into it a little bit more because of going to tackle somebody or be in the right spot.
Yeah, like Will Muschamp was fiery over there.
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't make the greatest decision.
To me.
All right, but Venables is a good defensive coach, and he has great defense, so we'll see if Alabama can crack the code. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We move a little slower now, just not too much so, but on Joe Malisham at Johnson Road, you've got some delays, and as well as the 43 intersection there. And Lurleen Wallace, that's still moving actually very nicely here. Lurleen Wallace, both directions at 15th Street, you're good to go.
Prize winners for $2,600 in cash. Join the celebration and toast a new beginnings and big wins at Pearl River Resort. Must be 21 or older to play.
Crimson Tide today, presented by
by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Streaming live at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN each Thursday during the football season. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Here are thoughts from Alabama football head coach Kalen DeBoer as we prepare for Friday night against Oklahoma.
Coach, your opportunity now for the final word. The final word presented by McCurry Van and Car Rental.
Yeah, it's playoff time, and we've been working all season long for this moment, and a long road ahead, hopefully. But we're just focused on what's ahead this week, and really looking forward to a great challenge against a good football team. I'm proud of the guys and what they've been doing here early in the week, getting ready to play.
Coach, always appreciate the time. Nakai, great to see you. Appreciate you so much as well. Best of luck this weekend, and congratulations again on earning the opportunity to play in the college football playoff. Coach Kalen DeBoer, Nakai Hill-Green joining us from Baumhauer's Victory Grill.
I'll have more in a moment. Hey, Bama fans, each Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Central, join us live for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. This live streaming talk show features the latest on Alabama athletics with exclusive conversations with Tide student athletes, coaches, and media members giving their perspective on the Crimson Tide. You can watch on YouTube, Facebook, and X, with all conversations archived as well on the Alabama Insider Podcast. Roll Tide with Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Join us this afternoon for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, streaming live at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with occasional showers today. The high for this afternoon around 62. For tonight, showers ending this evening, clearing and colder. The low 36. For tomorrow and Saturday, sunny both days. The high tomorrow 49. Warmer Saturday, the high 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Alabama Pro Wash, they know you're proud of your property. Dirt, mold, grime on your brick, stucco, or siding makes even the most well-cared home or business seem neglected. Their services include residential and commercial exterior cleaning, low-pressure soft washing, window cleaning, shingle restoration, concrete cleaning, and drone service cleaning for those hard-to-reach areas. Estimates are free. Give them a call today, 205-799-9069. Tell them you heard it on Inside the Locker Room and expect quality exterior cleaning service from your home or business when you call Alabama Pro Wash. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. Good morning, Cowboy.
How you doing, Barry and Coach?
Good.
Okay, how you doing, Cowboy? All right. Coach, yesterday you were talking something. I think I kind of interrupted you, and I thought about it last night, and I said, well, let me get him to expand on that. You said yesterday when we were talking about things with Bobby Lee Hurt and UAB and how they were trying to get him to go to Hawaii or something, and you said that, you know, Coach Newton maybe wasn't going to be tough enough to deal with Bartow. Could you expand on that a little bit this morning here?
I'd rather not, but I will. I felt like that there was a getting through place for Coach, for CM, and he didn't like the controversy that had drawn up between. They drew up, of course, when they tried to bury me about it. When Coach Bryant said, "What happened here? UAB lost their football coach, a basketball coach. Pardon me. They called Gene Bartow in at UCLA. John Wooden had taken the camps and kept them in his name. So back then, if you didn't have the camps, you didn't have any money. You didn't make any money from significant things that you tried to do. And so John Wooden kept the camps, and it made Gene Bartow upset. And as they were talking to him, they said, "We called to see if you might recommend somebody for UAB." And he said, "Yeah, I can recommend somebody, me." And they said, "Really?" He said, "Yes, I'm ready to come back." And so he came back, and he had good teams. We had good teams. There was going to be a knockdown, drag out, because Coach Bryant said, "We're not going to play anybody in any sport at UAB," and he did it because of football recruiting. Football, we're not going to get ourselves hurt. We're not going to get hurt there because they're going to try to start football. Because Gene came in and said he'd start football. And so nobody plays UAB in any sport. Well, it's fine with me. I didn't care. If I beat him, I'm supposed to. If I don't beat him, whatever. But I didn't have a say-so in it. But it was a lot of controversy as to what was going on. A lot of bitterness that CM wasn't comfortable with, didn't like it at all. And he was at the end of what he wanted to do, his 12 years. And so he went to Coach Bryant and he said, "Coach, now," and I shouldn't say all this, but I will. Paul Thompson at Shoal Creek had told CM that if he ever wanted to get out of coaching, that there was a place for him at Vanderbilt. And back in those days, Vanderbilt was changing basketball coaches every two or three years. And so he left that in his mind, that there's a place for you. I'm on the board of trustees. There's a place for you at Vanderbilt if you ever want to change place. Because Alabama, we were still fighting football, which is okay. It wasn't fighting them, but they were helping us some. But so anyway, pardon me. So he went to Coach Bryant and he said, I've had enough. I think I'm going to get out. And I think I will go into the conference office. Full well knowing in the back of his mind that within, if he ever wanted to go to Vanderbilt, he could. He went into the conference office and he handled the officials. And he handled them for 2 years. At the end of 2 years, the Vanderbilt job came open. He visited with Hall Thompson, and Hall Thompson made it possible. He even gave him money for a house, and he moved to Vanderbilt as a head basketball coach. At that particular time, he called Coach Bryant and said, "The 2 years that I was out of coaching, I really missed. I missed coaching. I felt like I need to go back. I don't want you hard at me for changing my mind and going to Vanderbilt." So that's what he told him. So he took the job at Vanderbilt, and I was fortunate enough to get the job at Alabama, which nobody liked it. It's okay, but they didn't like it because I had not ever been a head coach in college. And so when I took the job, there were a lot of players in the state of Alabama, and the alums helped me. They had helped me when I was assistant coach, and so they all knew me. And so those guys that helped me when I was assistant coach helped me with Enos Watley and Bobby Lee Hurt were seniors, and when I was recruiting them, I was assistant coach. When I got through recruiting them, I was the head coach. That's how that year went down. So without saying too much more, that's the truth of the story. And so I took it for the 12 years that I had it. So they fought us. And Gene did a good job. They had good teams. We did too.
Yeah.
And we weren't going to play them and didn't have to play them. And the controversy among, of course, the writers loved it, from you know who has a all of them. They wore it out. They wore me out. They wore it, and Sam didn't want to be worn out. He didn't want to hear all that. He knew it was coming, and you know, they wore me out, and we would go right through it and did okay.
Well, it was a great time of basketball, and I appreciate you sharing the story there. I was thinking today when I heard you all talking to Tommy, and you talked about Coach Bryant, and you knew him pretty well. Did you ever have an opportunity in those 20 years maybe to go somewhere before, but you just liked being with Coach Bryant so much, you just didn't leave and say take a job?
Well, nobody was going to hire me when I took the job because nobody wanted me to have it to start with. I hadn't won any games. But when we started winning pretty big, I did have an opportunity to go to South Carolina, or at least I was interviewed, and I went over there for an interview. And by then, Ray Perkins was the athletic director. And for all of you that don't like Ray Perkins, he liked me a great deal. He was tough. He fought Pat Dye backwards and forwards recruiting. He and Pat had a knockdown drag out because I was with Pat 8 years at Alabama. Annette sold Pat his first house at Alabama. Ray Perkins was the only one that I went to say that I was thinking about it, and he handled it for me in order for me to not even think about it anymore. So that was the only that was really,
he didn't tell him the story. He didn't give you more money. He gave you tickets, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, Ray Perkins said to me, "Coach, I have been in a knockdown dragout with Joab about our indoor facility. We don't have an indoor facility, and we're at odds bad about an indoor facility." And he said, I can't get any money out of him for the indoor facility, and I ain't gonna be able to get any money out of him to keep you. But I don't want you leaving." Ray went with us to the to Atlanta when we beat Illinois, and won two games there. And he said, "Let me say this to you. I have 100 football tickets. Oh, wow. I have 100 football tickets. If you will stay, I'll start off. I'll do other things for you. I'll start off by giving you 100 basketball tickets, and I will buy you 50 tournament tickets and give those to you, and you can do with the money whatever you want to do." So Ray Perkins gave me 100 basketball tickets. Was that Barry brought it up? I got to say it. He gave me 100 basketball tickets, and he gave me 50 tournament tickets. I would love to tell another story along with this. If you want me to tell it, I'll tell it.
Come on, Coach, tell it. Come on.
Okay.
I remember all these times.
I've got those tickets. We get Latrell Sprewell.
Oh, Lord. I don't know if you want to tell this one.
Okay. We won't tell it.
No.
Okay. We won't tell it.
You can tell it.
But
I don't
know. Well, we get, it doesn't really matter. It's been 100 years ago. We get Latrell Sprewell. I go to my assistant, who's a terrific assistant. I said, How did we pull off Latrell Sprewell in the last half of the night? I said, "Kansas, everybody in the country was after him." I said, "Boy, Kevin, you did a great job getting him." He said, "Coach, he's not going to graduate." I said, "He's not going to graduate?" He said, "No, he's not going to graduate." He said, "We're going to have to put him, we're going to have to put him in Shelton to graduate." I said, "Okay." I said, "What we'll do is we'll put him down in Coleman Coliseum with my two managers, and he can live with our two managers, and we'll get him some food. He didn't have a car." We put him down in Coleman Coliseum. He stayed there with the two managers. He shot baskets all the time. Did what he's supposed to do. Went to class at Shelton. about 10 days prior to finishing up, Kevin came to me and said, Coach, we've got bad, bad problems. I said, what? He said, the university closes registration before Shelton gives out the grade. We can't get him in school. I said, we can't get him in school? He said, no way. There's going to be a week to 10 days, and their grades are in, and we can't get his, we can't do it. We can't get his grades. He's making C's and B's, not making any A's, but he's making C's and B's, but we can't get him in school. Well, I took those 100 tickets I had.
Oh.
I went over to see Dr. Humphreys. Dr. Humphreys, president. Nice guy. Went him at church. I wasn't going to go to church with him, but I knew. I gave Dr. Humphreys 4 tickets. I got my managers to get the class schedule. Was Spree. Went to every teacher that Spree taught, gave him 4 tickets.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, everyone. I had 100. So I gave each one of them 4 tickets. And I don't know why I shouldn't. Anyway, they didn't cheat. They just, if he had a C at that time, they just gave him a C, but they turned his grade in as a C. They turned his grade in to whatever he had at that particular time. And we got his grades turned in. And he was able to, after all those grades were turned in, to enroll at the university because all of his grades were turned in for every course that we had, that he had. When I turned around at a basketball game and looked at the seats behind me where I sat, every one of them was full of Shelton people. From Dr. Humphreys, everybody was there. That had gotten the 4 tickets. And that's how we got him in. So I told you something that's never been told much, that Barry knows about it. And Ray Perkins and I were close buddies, and I was close buddies with all the football
players. Now, Cowboy, think about this. If all that stuff doesn't happen, Spreewell probably doesn't make a dime in the NBA.
That's exactly right, Barry. He doesn't appreciate it.
Well, he probably doesn't know it. Does he know it?
No, I doubt it.
But I'm saying, like, those kids don't understand. Like, he, yeah. You know, remember when he said they were trying to pay him 20-something million and he was offended, said he had to feed his kids? Like, if all those things don't happen, if one guy says no, he probably makes no money playing basketball. Right, Cowboy?
Right. Right. Well, what made me decide to come back and ask that day after, I'm sorry I interrupted yesterday, but after hearing Tommy Wilcox, and I could just feel the pride in my heart for Alabama coming out, listening to Tommy. I remember Tommy so well. I remember when he was a freshman, Virginia Tech was driving down the field in 79. I think the game was 0-0, first drive of the game, and Tommy picked him off in the end zone. You know, guys like Tommy and, I don't know if the guys now have the pride like those guys
they
have.
Don't.
It's a different
they don't.
Era of football. And I understand that, but having Tommy on there and hearing your dad tell these stories and you know, this is what I love about Alabama is these kind of people here. And well, you know, you can call it cheating. Yeah, you can call it cheating if you want to, but it Spree did his work to get those C's and to get those B's and get those D's. I'm saying it's what had to happen.
Yeah,
I'm not calling it.
I mean, just like, you know, you and I had a situation like that at South Carolina, and where a kid doesn't know, he ended up being a number one draft. But if all those things didn't happen, he wouldn't have played. And so if he doesn't play, he don't get drafted. So, you know, you change kids' lives like that. Now, some of them appreciate it. Some of them blow all the money and have no clue. But anyway, yeah. Still trying
well,
to
help. You know, it kind of goes back to the deal. I kind of grew up, my father and different people. You know, you scratch my back, I'm going to scratch your back mentality. You know, you take care of me, I'm going to take care of you. That's just, you go a long way in life doing that with folks and everything. You know, you brought up Ray Perkins, Coach, talking about that indoor for practice. I remember in the summer of 84, they started building it, and we knew the company
my family, my dad did the company that built that thing from Jasper, yeah. Sparks Construction. We knew him in the cattle yep. business in Alabama. We were both yep. in the Old Hereford business, you yeah. know, Old Hereford cattle.
Well,
and, you know,
I'll tell you a story besides that. That thing was born of contention with Coach Perkins and the president. And they were Ray is a great friend of mine. I care a lot about him. He liked me. He liked he loved our program. He thought we fought so hard.
He came to games all the time. Him and
I'm flying into Tuscaloosa. I get word that Ray Perkins is leaving and going to the pros. I called him. I said, Ray, what's the deal? He said, well, I decided, you know, we fought this thing with Pat. We've done well. Pat was doing good down there, just a knockdown, drag out mess. He said, I've got a chance to make a lot of money and go pro. I'm probably going to go. He said, let me give you some advice. Go over to to Joab's house Sunday morning and visit with him. I said, really? He said, go over there and visit with him so you can keep handle of your program. I said, okay. So I call him and I go over there on Sunday morning. And he says, He'd already done this, I don't know exactly the timeline. He said, I visited with Danny Ford. I visited with Howard Snellenberger. I visited with, I think he said Gene. He named off four or five football coaches that you would know. And he said, I think I'm going to hire Bill Curry. And I said, really? He said, and I'm going to tell you something. Y'all can laugh all you want to. Bill Curry did a good job. He worked his fanny off. The problem was he didn't realize that Bill had not beaten anybody at Auburn. And that went with, upset the alumni and all that because they had not beaten Auburn. He's at Tech and so forth. And he said, I'm thinking very seriously about hiring Bill Curry. The other thing I want to tell you is that Bill Curry is going to interview good. Bill Curry is a good friend of mine. He's going to interview well. And so all he was done was asked to be called in for an interview. And he was called in for the interview and interviewed and left. And because of the controversy over the indoor facility, he wanted somebody that was not an Alabama person to be the new football coach that had not anything to do with the University of Alabama. And that one person of the ones that he interviewed was Bill Curry. And so he hired Bill Curry, and I knew it sometime before it was ever announced and kept my mouth shut. And Bill came in and, you know, had a great team and did a good job and was a very good person. Thor Brick, who's wind all you want to. I don't give a crap what you do, but you did that. He takes a football team down to Auburn and gets beat 20-10 or something. The first time that Alabama had ever played at Auburn. Had ever. You think it wasn't fired up at Auburn? You want some ticket prices for that game? Well, they go down, and of course we Alabama gets beat, and that, you know, that pours more gasoline on the fire, and he gets beat, and then I won't go any further than that. But that's whatever.
All right, Cowboy, you got him going down memory lane, but we got to get to break.
Well, that was great. Yeah, well, thanks for sharing all that, Coach. I appreciate it. And
I just saw the NCAA just pulled up behind the studio. I got to go, Cowboy.
Barry, Will Wade had some interesting comments. They were playing on ESPN.
Why are you trying to get me mad, Cowboy? You're trying to get me mad. See you, buddy. All right, let's talk about Bryant Bank before we get to break.
Bryant Bank, outstanding bank. Paul Jr. is a great bank there. And, it has a lot of places throughout the state of Alabama, personal and business account, outstanding. People that trade there, and I trade there, know that they're going to be courteous with you. They're going to help you. They're going to do everything they can to be sure that you're satisfied. And the other factor, too, is that your money is going to be safe. They're going to be darn sure that nobody's coming in to really try to do anything to mishandle your money. And you won't be able to bank around the clock. You can bank in the middle of the night if you wish. So back then you couldn't. So anyway, go by Bryant Bank and tell me you heard on Inside the Locker.
This is Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. The Vinegar Tip is next. Then we'll get out of here for the Gary Harris Show.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We got Skyland Boulevard, a little on and off your brakes action from McFarland to 69. And making your way on Lurleen Wallace, that is just beautiful. It travels at posted speed from University to McFarland without delays. And McFarland also not seeing any heavy delays. You're pretty much wrapping up your rush to work. In between Academy Drive and 43, you're all good to go. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside.
Hey, so we can help you with the protection that's right for you and the things you love most. Allstate. Are you in good hands? 248-0303.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I've been good. I knew that I wouldn't. I've been good. I knew that I wouldn't.
It's that time. It's the Vinegar Tip, 205-752-8500. Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. You could have gave him some vinegar and put four tickets on the vinegar, four season tickets. But what's the vinegar tip for this Thursday?
Well, the vinegar tip for you guys.
Good tip. We lost you. Hello?
Very mess off of your hands and off of your arms. It's really hard to do. And one of the things you can do is take a cloth of vinegar, put a little on it, a cloth of vinegar, and mossing it real good. And with those that berry juice and all those berry stuff on there, you can make your pies and stuff. I'd like to give about what they make in pies, but I think I'm afraid the ladies wouldn't write it down. It's too long to give. But and scrub your hands good and scrub your arms good, you're going to find that not only is that going to help you as you continue to make what you make, but also you can put that over and use it on your sinks as well after you eat your arms. So vinegar is good for a lot of different things, and I'll guarantee you it's the best spot remover you can find anywhere. And the spots that you get from working, getting ready, as you were New Year's, New Year's as well, you're going to find that vinegar is a product that does the job.
All right, that's brought to you by, we got half of that tip, Chase. Brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. Tomorrow, the Blue Plate Special will roll out. That's brought to you by Brian Harden Construction. Need precision, power, performance? Brian Harden Construction has been delivering top quality steel fabrication, welding, and 24/7 crane rentals for over 30 years. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. 205-759-1337. Go to bharden.com. All right, we lost Tom there. Tom's back on. Tom, we got about 1 minute, buddy.
Well, Barry, I was just trying to make the point, and you're right. That if you can confuse a quarterback in general,
sure,
you got half of the job done. But the reason I point that out about Ty and the reason Coach Saban did is because Ty has a lot of freedom to change plays at the line of scrimmage. They allow him to do that. They put pressure on him to get them in the right play. And that's what I was talking about Coach Saban was referring to. These defensive coordinators are not dumb. They figure things out.
Yeah.
And if they can confuse that, that's what the point I was trying to make.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. Hey, and they just named A.J. Karen just got named the Birmingham Stallions coach, which we told you that yesterday. Well, I got it.
Who did?
A.J. McCarron.
You're joking.
No. Nope.
He's not running for lieutenant governor?
No, he pulled out of that. He's the new coach of the state. He took it over for Skip Holtz.
Hey, I'm glad he pulled out as governor, right?
Yeah.
Lieutenant. Anyway, thank you, Barry.
Thank you. There you go. All right, that's it for today's show. We got to get out of here and make way for the Gary Harris Show. I got to go to Hewitt Trustful today, the next 3 days. We've got playing in a Husky holiday shootout. Got Muscle Shoals today at 4:30. So, Chase, I'm going to be riding back and forth. I may be a little bleary-eyed walking in here tomorrow, but we'll get it done. You just tied 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great Thursday, everyone.